based on what learning collaboration with Unino Paradini and Gabriele Boiano. The outline of my talk is this. I will start with an extended section on motivation, and then I will consider the configuration that I'm interested in two cases, and after we conclude. So first of all, a slide about theoretical motivations. So brainwork models during the last 10 years provided a lot of new insights you know, for building effective theories of gravity that extended or modified Einstein's general relativity in an interesting and possibly consistent way. For example, adding new degrees of freedom or reconsidering the nature of the graviton. Okay, there are a lot of examples in the literature. Nicely, in some of the examples, it has been possible to connect these brainwork models, the various brainwork models, to more fundamental theories like string theory. And they found an embedding and an interpretation in 10-dimensional. For example, models with large extra dimensions, like the ADD models, have been proposed as a consistent framework to consider theories with a low fundamental scale. And once embedded in string theory, they found a motivation on string inside string models with a low string scale. And they have very interesting phenomenological consequences. For example, they predict deviation from Newtonian universe that can be observed in tabletop experiments. And even more spectacularly, in some cases, they predict the existence of predict the observation of black holes at collide. Also, random syndrome type models have important connection with string ideas. For example, there is a very nice connection with the ideas shift. And also, they found a very nice motivation in tech-to-be models in compatifying Calabi-Yau mention with fluxes terminal. Since in those examples, long work frauds developed that realizes string theory exactly as Anderson-Lund 1 kind of model. From the cosmological point of view, there have been other examples of brainwork models aimed to address the dark energy sector. In particular, they aim to address the cosmological constant problem and the fact that our universe is presently accelerating. Two classes of models are particularly interesting in my opinion. The first class is a class of models that aim to address the cosmological constant problem in a brainwork in more than five dimensions, in brainwork models with more than five dimensions. And these are higher codimensional brainworks. For example, three plus one brain embedded in a six-dimensional space-time. And they address the cosmological constant problem via self-tuning mechanism that we will present in the next slide. Another class of models is called the DGP, Valley-Gabbard-Alpert-Monrad class of models, that aim to explain the present-day acceleration via modification of the behavior of gravity at large distances by a mechanism that is called self-acceleration. That I will explain in the next slide. But why are these classes of models we think are consistent? These two classes of models cannot, in a way, solve the problems that they wanted to address in a completely consistent way, at least it seems to us today. Maybe because we don't still understand the right to provide competition for these frameworks. I don't know. Anyway, in this talk, I will try to consider a situation in which I put together these two ideas to see whether we can find a nicer setup in which we can cure the problems of each of these problems. So I start discussing a way to address the cosmological constant problem in a brainwork model with two extra dimensions. So the simplest setup in which the self-tuning wave to address the constant problem is realized with the following. Consider a six-dimensional space that contains only ground, so with an action like this. And consider a solution of the Einstein equations that contains a cone, so a conical singularity. And suppose that we place a brain world, a three-platform brain, on the tip of the conical singularity. It is invented in a six-dimensional space. This is a nice example of co-dimension two brain worlds because there are two extra dimensions transferred to the brain world problem. And we have to add a brain tension, lambda, in order to support the conical singularity, to have a system that solves everywhere. Okay, why this simple setup is interesting in order to address the constant problem? Okay, for the following reason. Suppose that we live on this, on the brain. And so, for an observer on the brain, this lambda, the brain tension, corresponds to the cosmological constant from a four-dimensional point of view. It has the largest probability to the cosmological constant. So suppose that brain physics changed via phase transitions or whatever, changes the value of this lambda or the cosmological constant. What happens is that if lambda changes, our 3 plus 1 dimensions that are on the brain do not cure. But what happens is that the deficit angle that characterizes the conical geometry changes in such a way to compensate a change of lambda. So if the cosmological constant changes, our 3 plus 1 brain remains flat, but only the details with the extra dimensions. Some details with the extra dimensions change. So you see that in this way, this is an interesting way to address the cosmological constant. Okay, there is a caveat that in this setup, however, in order to have a four-dimensional finite Planck mass, we must compactify the space, because the Planck mass is related to the volume of the extra space. And if the volume is infinite, the Planck mass is infinite as well, and so gravity is not local. We don't observe for standard four-dimensional gravity for complete world.
Excuse me, can I see why it addresses the cosmological constant problem?
Which is the cosmological constant problem? The problem is that if you give a contribution to the cosmological constant in four dimensions, take just four dimensional generality. If you give a contribution to the cosmological constant, this tends to cure the space-time difference. So that if you start from a flat space, if you give a contribution to the cosmological constant, the space becomes the sitter or anti-sitter.
Yeah.
Okay. In this case, if you change the cosmological constant, start with lambda hypothetical, for example. If you change the cosmological constant, the 3 plus 1 brain, there is a solution of the Einstein equations that says that the 3 plus 1 dimension, 3 plus 1 brain, so our 3 plus 1 dimensions remain flat. But only some of the parameters of the dimensions, in this case the deficit angle, will change. So any change of the cosmological constant does not reflect on a curvature of the, our observed for 3 plus 1 dimensions, but it is somehow compensated by a change of the details of the extra space.
Lambda can.
Yeah, it can be whatever, of course, yeah, can in principle be whatever you like. But there is a problem. And the problem is connected with the fact that I was just telling to you. The fact that we, at the end of the day, we had to compactify the extra space in order to have a four-dimensional Planck mass that is finite. So the simplest way to compactify the space, the extra space, is to add other fields in the extra dimension, for example, gauge fields, and in this case also positive cosmological constant lambda 6. And in this way, one compactifies the space in using a solution that has been essentially derived by Salam-Sevkin. It is a solution that is locally spherical. And one finds that considering this way to compactify the extra space, the deficit angle alpha results quantized. This is due to the fact that the deficit angle is connected to the charge of the monopole that has to be switched on in order to compactify the space, and the charge is quantized, essentially for the Dirac quantization condition. So in this way, if you want to compactify the space, the deficit angle results quantized and cannot change continuously in order to compensate for a change of the cosmological constant on the brain. Because here you see that you have a connection between the cosmological constant on the brain and the deficit angle. Okay, you have this kind of relation.
Have discrete values, basically, you see all this washboard potential. So I mean, this would be similar to those.
Yeah, but the first motivation was not to have a solution with discrete values, as the ones that you are proposing, but a solution that is, yes, maybe more a solution in which any value of the cosmological constant is allowed, and any value can be compensated by accepting this. In this framework, instead, not all deficit angles are allowed, but only deficit angles that are. No, I mean, no. What they say is only that the first motivation that was this is not realized exactly in the way that was hoped. The first motivation was to change lambda and change continuously alpha such to follow any change on lambda. This idea, this particular idea, cannot be realized. After this, you can say, OK, let's change a bit our initial motivation and see what happens. But this particular idea can't be So, but there is a different possibility. Suppose that you forget about this complication and ask the following question. Is it possible to avoid the necessity to compactify just a space? I mean, instead, you have induced gravity terms on the codimension to break. And this induced gravity term may be enough to ensure that codimensional gravity is recovered in the relevant regimes. So you don't have to compactify in just the space. And you ask whether the self-tuning mechanism that I just explained to you now work in this case, and whether you can even find new solution, new cosmological solutions that exhibit self-acceleration and that are different in respect to the ones studied in the past by Dvalik, Abadatsi, and Poranchi. So in this slide, I present very briefly which is the idea of the self-acceleration. So let's open a parenthesis and let's return to five-dimensional brainwave models just to explain what is self-acceleration. Suppose to consider a tensionless 3 plus 1 dimensional brain embedded in a 5 dimensional empty bulk. And suppose to add localized gravity terms on the brain. I will show to you later the details of the action. If one assumes a 3 by Robinson Walker answer for the induced brain matrix, one finds that the effective Friedman equation assumes this part. The effective Friedman equation depends on various parameters that define the model. And in particular, and also it depends on a parameter epsilon that can assume value plus or minus 1. Depends on the geometry. When one considers the branch of solution with epsilon equal to plus 1, one has a branch of solution that is called self-accelerating branch. Because H is always positive, even if you don't put anything on the brain. Even if rho, that is the energy density on the brain, is equal to 0. So this is a system that exhibits self-acceleration because one finds always accelerating solutions regardless of the presence or not of the matter on the brain. But this kind of solution is plugged by dots. If you study the dynamics of the low energy spectrum, one finds that some of the modes are dots. So it is not consistent. People worked a lot in the past years in order to see whether variation of this simple model can provide ghost-free models. also thin perimeter that I have been some attempt from this line. But now what we want to do is to consider higher codimension models, so models in six dimensions with a 3+1 brain, with induced gravity terms, to see first if I can make sense of the self-tuning mechanism, and second, if I can find self-accelerating solutions, and if so, if they are likely to have ghosts or not. So the action, the general action that I will consider is the following. I will consider a six-dimensional space that we call bulk that contains gravity and a cosmological constant, lambda. Plus, I will consider two codimension one brains like this with induced gravity terms of this form. So this is an action for a codimension one brain. And they can contain matter that you like. And I will concentrate my attention to what happens at the intersection between these two brains. At the intersection, there is a codimension two brain because it has 3+1 dimensions. And I will consider the possibility to add induced gravity terms at the intersection plus the matter that you like. Of course, indeed, I will also impose the two symmetry at the position of the codimension one brains. So this is the system that I'm considering. Of course, one can consider just the simple situation in which the codimension one brain intersects at brains intersect at right angles, or you can change the angle between the brains, or you can consider more complicated situations in which codimension one brain bend in the higher dimensional space. All these possibilities can be recovered, can be understood, as I will discuss now. The questions that I want to consider now are the following. How does matter on the brain but react on the geometry? Suppose that you put something here. How does the geometry modify in order to compensate for the presence of matter on the brain? Is there a regime in which acceptable four-dimensional gravity can be obtained at the intersection? If we live here, we are interested to know whether four-dimensional gravity can be consistent with the observations. And last, can we find further self-accelerating configurations for this system? Yes, the matter that we observe is in the codimension. Yes, you can put whatever you like. Here I leave complete freedom. And that, yes. Of course, after I will concentrate on some special cases in which I put matter that I like on the codimension two brain, the matter that you like. I will consider, we consider just perfect fluid. And the question is which is the relation between the matter that you put here and the energy density that you have to put at the dimension one brain. Yes.
They can have tension.
Yeah. Indeed, in the first part of my talk now, I will present just an example in which all the brains are dominated by pure tension. Just to show how things go. So how do we tackle these questions, the previous questions about relation between matter and geometry? I will focus on a very specific setup, cosmological setup, in which I will mainly focus on the case in which all the brains have an induced geometry of the form of three-man-Armstrong-Walker. So I will, in particular, focus on homogeneous cosmologies on the codimension two brains. And so I will impose a three-man-Armstrong-Walker. This is very, it is a very simplified setup. One would like also to consider cases in which one considers the dynamics of small perturbations, so of the dynamics of inhomogeneities. It is a very simplified setup, but I will be able to extract some nice information about this. And so, last question, why this system and not others with similar features? That is, why I don't return to the dimension two brain that lives on the tip of the cone, or why I don't consider other models like brain brains nested in other brains, like it was described by Andrew, Claudia, and Justin. This because in this particular setup with intersecting codimension one brains can be worked out very easily using the formalism of visceral junction conditions for codimension one brains, as I will show to you now. And so it is much easier to deal with. Because as far as I understand, in Andrew and Claudia model, there is not a second codimension one brain. There is one codimension one brain, and there is a codimension two brain nested on it. Is right? While recall in the first example with the cone, there is no codimension one brain at all. There is just the quantum simulation. So, first part of the talk, I will discuss the possibility. I will discuss the case in which we have just maximally symmetric configuration. What do I mean with this? I will focus on the case in which both the brain and the bulk geometry, the bulk is a 60-dimensional space, are maximally symmetric. And I will ask which is the relation between the Hubble parameters on the brains, so the expansion rates on the brain, and the brain tensions. So the bulk geometry that I consider is given by, so there is just cosmological constant in the bulk. A solution of a Einstein equation is given by this. Okay, it is here you have a conformal factor that depends on time and on two of the six-dimensional coordinates. There is a work factor that multiplies flat space, and the work factor is given by this expression. And here there are three parameters, h, k1, and k2, that must satisfy this relation. So they are related to the bulk cosmological constant, lambda mu. In this setup, this six-dimensional setup, I embed two codimension one brains that intersect with certain angles, alpha 1 and alpha 2, the original coordinate system. So one can define two normals of the brain in respect to the six-dimensional geometry. Okay, the angle between the brain is given by the sum of alpha 1 and alpha 2.
The set in which you've done a rotation coordinates.
Yes.
So instead of being one over HD, it's.
Yes. I added the unexplicit dependence on
one. But it's
yes, this is really a solution. This is still a solution. This is nothing but a. It's yeah. Still a solution that's yeah. Dimensional Einstein equation. And it does cost. So it is maximum. If you put inside mathematical, you know, it's still proportional to the geometry.
Well, I mean, it is
the citron, of course. Yes. The citron only cost it depends on
that. Right.
But don't the brains break the symmetry?
No, yeah, okay. Look at just this point. After the brains do not break the symmetry. What do you mean for breaking?
Well, you said this is the maximal symmetric metric, right?
But yeah, here in the geometry.
No, you're right. I mean, it isn't only for the brains. I mean, it just means the bulk geometry away from the brain.
Away yeah. From the brain.
Away
from
the
brain. Far enough.
Here, not far enough. Even
infinitesimally
far from the brains.
But is this consistent that you
yeah, it is because you will solve, and now I will show to you how to solve the junction conditions at the brain position such that this geometry is a sort of complete set of Einstein equations.
Okay, so something else that's not clear. The difference between you and Andrew Claudia's scenario is that in your case, these brains continue beyond intersection, but in their case, they don't continue beyond intersection.
You can see. In this way. In the sense, maybe my system is a system in which.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there a real difference if these guys don't continue being or
yes.
Continue?
In Claudia and Andrew's case, there is a system like this.
Ah, okay, but they could have an angle or they don't. The coordination one brain.
You mean something like this?
Yeah.
This just depends what gauge you're in.
Okay.
But the point is that in that case there's two Z2 symmetries being acted, and in this case there's only one.
Yes.
So topologically different always.
Also, yeah. If you go nearby, yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And as far as I understand, in their case is more difficult to deal with because you will not be able to use some of the techniques that I'm going to use. After we can discuss about it. Yes, but the angle is not three. In the sense, as I will show to you, the angle is related to what you put on the brains, on the two detentions of the brains. But in the day, the physical the physical angle is just the angle between the brains, alpha one, the sum of the two angles. Indeed, I will show to you that all the formulae depend only on the angle between the two brains. But I showed to you the result in two slides, so we can discuss about the complete set of equations that define the system. So, okay, just for technical reasons, here I can go fast. For technical reasons, it is convenient to define new coordinates that are parallel to the brains. So new coordinates tilde, such that the brains are located at theta tilde, z tilde equal to, z tilde 1 equal to 0, and z tilde 2 equal to 0, okay, technical point. And after, at this point, one wants to impose what are called Israel junction conditions at the position of the brain in order to determine which kind of energy momentum tensor must be placed on the brain such to allow for the geometry that I just described that we are interested in. So let me just explain in half a slide what are these Israel junction equations. So the idea is the following. Take any codimension one brain, for example, the one that I just showed here. This codimension one brain, it is characterized by the details of its embedding, and it is and from which it is possible to find velocity vectors and normal vectors in the brain. It is possible to define a tensor that is called extrinsic curvature tensor. It's called KMN. And the Israel conditions relate the jump of this extrinsic curvature tensor, the jump evaluated at the brain position, with the energy momentum tensor that must be, that is located on the brain. So you have a relation between a geometrical quantity, that is the extrinsic curvature, that describes the detail of the geometry nearby the brain, and the energy momentum tensor on the brain itself. So this is the Israel junction condition that I'm going to use in the following. So there are one can play with these Israel junction conditions, and in particular, if the six dimensional space, if the body is maximally symmetric, there is an additional equation that holds, that is called the Kodaty equation, that ensures that there is no interchange of energy between brain and the six dimensional space. This is just you can derive it from some differential relations from some equations. So there is a conservation of energy on the brain, on the codimension. You don't have an exchange of energy density. So I use this formula that is very well developed in my case. So I will concentrate, let me concentrate in one of the brains, for example, that I call sigma 1. It is located at the point z1 tilde equal to 0. And I pass to a coordinate, to a frame, coordinate frame that is parallel to the brain that I have just described. So let me skip the details. I calculate the extrinsic curvature evaluated at the brain position. And what I find is a nice thing, that the extrinsic curvature that, as I just told you, is related to the energy momentum tensor of the brain. Okay, one component of the extrinsic curvature contains a singular term that is located, a singular term that is picked at the position of the intersection. So this means that the extrinsic curvature of the codimension one brain contains a piece that gives to me the information about what happens at the intersection. So this is a geometrical quantity that must be related to the details of the energy momentum tensor on the brain. And this component of the extrinsic curvature tells me that at the intersection, I must put some energy density, some energy momentum tensor, such to compensate for the presence of this singular term. So the geometry contains a singular term that must be compensated by some matter at the intersection. So what is nice of the in this formalism is that from the junction condition for the codimension one brain, I directly get some singular piece that tells me, that give to me all the information that I need about the dynamics of the brain at the intersection. So this is a way to obtain information about the codimension two brain by using essentially instruments that have been built in the past for dealing with codimension one brain. Just because the extrinsic curvature contains singular pieces located at the intersection. So one can solve all the equations in this simple setup. So this simple setup, all the brains are dominated, are contained just pure tension, lambda one and lambda two for the codimension one brain, and lambda small for the tension at the intersection. And the brains are maximally symmetric and are characterized by Hubble parameters, constant Hubble parameters, H1 and H2 for the codimension one brain, and H for the brain at intersection. One solves all the junction conditions and finds these relations. Notice also that the angle between the brain is related to the Hubble parameters. And so this is what we are have to work with. Notice that the tension of the brain at intersection is given by this expression, and it is sensitive also to the details of the six-dimensional geometry, in particular to the angle between the brain by this term. So this is the complex system of equations. Now I will consider two cases. First is the case of self-accelerating solution. My question is whether, given this system of equations, one can find solutions in which all the tensions are equal to zero. So there is nothing on the brain. The brains are completely empty. But at the same time, H, the parameter H, is positive. So you have self-acceleration at the intersection. This is an example, would be an example of self-acceleration. Okay? We found, given the previous system, we were able to find all the self-accelerating solutions in this case. Okay, yeah, they look quite complicated, but at least we have the complete solution. We can do a couple of very general observations starting from there.
Sorry, do you have a cosmological constant?
Yeah. On the brains?
Yeah. Yes.
All these lambda one, lambda two, and lambda small are tensions on the brain. And these are related to the Hubble parameters on the brain. But they are related by this complicated equation. So it is not that like the fourth dimension that you have.
So does this solve the cosmological constant problem?
No, wait, this is no.
No. No.
But wait, I will arrive to this.
How did you define H?
How did I
define H?
Wait, okay, H1, H2, and H could respond to the Hubble parameters as seen by observers on the brain.
Okay. So
the point is that you start with a six-dimensional matrix,
mm-hmm.
and you put a brain on it.
Right.
There is an induced matrix on the brain that depends on how the brain is situated in that dimension. And what happens is in this case is that you can calculate straightforwardly the induced matrix, and this induced matrix turns out to be maximally symmetric. So it is defined just by a constant parameter that in this case is H1, H2, can be H1, H2, or H.
And should we
write
the induced matrix on the whole dimension 2 is part of the
induced matrix? Yes, actually. Yeah, they are related, but they are not the same. In the sense, they can have different Hubble parameters. In this.
So H is not determined entirely by the behavior of H1 and H2?
H, no. H is determined just by this solving this complicated system.
H is not determined by that, or is it?
H? Okay.
If I know everything about the system, H1, H2, and everything about the junction, is H then?
Yeah, it is. In the sense, this is a system of four equations that given the tensions of the brain, lambda, small lambda 1, lambda 2, determines H1, H2, H, and the angle between the brains. So it is a closed system of equations. Okay, given this equation, one can ask, what happens when all the tensions vanish? Can you find solutions that exhibit acceleration, even in the complete absence of matter in the brain? And this would be an example of such accelerating solution. This is the example that I was describing before. So regarding the self-accelerating solution for this system, I wanted to do two observations. One is the states of gravity that one should expect. So suppose that we live on the codimension 2 brain that is characterized by Hubble parameter H. In this case, one can find accelerating solution, and one finds that H is always given by a quantity that corresponds to n5 to the 3 over n4 squared. So recall that n5 and n4 are related to the induced gravity terms on the value space.
So this is all tensions are vanishing here?
Here, all tensions. There is nothing. There's just the induced gravity terms. But no matter.
So then what does it mean to have a brain that has no tension and nothing? What is it meaning?
There is still the gravity on it. There is induced gravity term on it.
There is induced gravity. Okay.
There is induced
gravity. That is something.
Okay. It's exactly like in the DGP model.
Okay. Yeah.
But what is strange, but okay, this is what our design is, that still H, so the degree of acceleration, the H that is observed in the codimension of the brain does not depend on the case of the six-dimensional geometry, but we find a relation that is exactly the same that one finds in the example of Valley-Cabalante polarity of a brain embedded in five-dimensional space. And so one must make the same choices of mass case in order to reproduce the observed Hubble parameter. But one also finds that there is a relation between the fundamental state in six dimensions and the other mass scales. And one finds that the fundamental scale in six dimensions must be of the order of 10 to the minus 3 electron volts. So in this kind of setup, one finds that indeed this quantity that of course is cosmologically very important today has indeed a meaning, and it corresponds to the fundamental scale theory of gravity. Second question, of course, is, are there ghosts in this configuration? Unfortunately, okay, we didn't do the complete analysis of the fluctuations, as I was mentioning before, but what we find is that at least one of the parameter sets that were appearing in the previous solution has taken to be positive. And as I was explaining to you before, choosing one of the epsilon positive in the Valley-Cabalante polarity model corresponding to consider configurations that contain ghosts. Maybe the same it is true also here. We still don't know because we still have to study the dynamics of the fluctuations. But although the ghosts can be present, there is the possibility they do not couple to matter at intersection. This we don't know. And also there is the possibility that if they appear only on codimension 1 brains that are completely empty, because after all we want to put matter only at intersection. If one of the codimension 1 brains contains ghosts, but on the other hand doesn't contain any matter, maybe these ghosts can be harmless because there is no way to source them.
Because
it's always
the
higher
orders.
I can order. Yeah.
I mean, just matter has to couple gravitation, and everything gravitation.
The question is, if higher order, if they have a higher order, okay. The question is whether they are there. Yes. I don't know, maybe they are coupled, but sufficiently, but in a way that doesn't, in a way that is harmless. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, I guess you wouldn't say the time scale for the instability is greater
must
than
be
the
very
age
long.
Of the universe.
But can't be very long. We don't know. We don't even know if there are losses, but yeah, it's very probable. Now, just explaining. Yes. In the previous setup, one can ask also the second question, whether there are sustaining configurations. So the question is whether there are configurations in which the tension on the collimation one brain lambda is only related to the angle between the brains and does not enter another relation that connected with the other parameters. Then we found also one self-tuning solution, one example of self-tuning solution. And in this case, indeed, we have a situation in which the tension on the brain only changes the angle between the brains and themselves, while other relations fix the values of H1, H2 on the other brains. And also H is fixed. So when lambda changes, Our Hubble parameter does not change, but what is changing is only the detail at the back, only the angle between the brains. So, of course, to understand whether this framework is can be consistent, one should understand whether four-dimensional gravity can be obtained in this way. So, whether one can ensure that, in at least in some regimes, four-dimensional gravity can be recovered at the intersection. So. Ready? Here, this is the cosmological constant in the back.
So, what do you mean? In what sense is H independent of the value of HCC?
H is independent on little lambda, that is the cosmological constant on the brain where we live. So once you have chosen cosmological constant in the bulk, and you will not change it, H is fixed. But you can change the cosmological constant in the four-dimensional space, that is lambda, changing the angle between the brains. This is the idea. Okay, time is running. I will skip. Okay, now the idea is we have these maximally symmetric configurations. Can we understand how gravity behaves at the intersection? I will focus on the case, or I will focus on studying cosmological aspects of this model. So I will ask, suppose that we add some matter at the intersection, some energy density that has the form of a perfect fluid form. Is it possible to recover the standard Friedmann equation at the intersection? So I will skip the technical details. I will just explain to you how I'm going to obtain cosmological equation for this system. So in order to study cosmology, I will adopt what is called a mirage approach, in which what happens is that the codimension one brains move through the bulk, and this motion of brains through the bulk is seen by a brain observer as a cosmological evolution. In particular, the scale factor as seen by a brain observer is related to the position of the brain in the bulk. And it is possible to see that if the brain moves, the scale factor changes with time, inducing cosmological expansion from the point of view of an observer on the brain. So in this case, I will leave one of the codimension one brains to move and deform in the extra space. And I will ask, which is the cosmology, the observed cosmology for an observer that lives at an intersection. So I will take the simplified setup in which the bulk remains static. But of course, in this case, if the codimension one or the codimension one brains move, intersection must follow it. So there will be a strict relation between the motion of the intersection and the motion on the codimension one brain. And this relation will convert in a relation between the energy density that one must place on the codimension one brain and the energy density one must place on the in the codimension two brain. But this, yes, I don't. One proceeds as before by studying the junction condition. I will skip the details, but what happens in this case is that the Kodaty equation that before was preventing an energy exchange between the bulk will have a nice feature here that will allow an energy exchange between the codimension one brain that is moving and the intersection. So it is true that there is no exchange of energy between brains and bulk, but there will be exchange of energy between the brains themselves. This is allowed by the Kodaty equation, and this is what will happen in this case. Okay, we'll skip the details about what happens in the codimension one case, and we'll just show to you which are the equation, the cosmological equations that are seen by an observer on the codimension two brain. So we have two equations that govern cosmological expansion. The first one is an equation that corresponds to the Friedmann equation, and the second one is an equation that generalizes the continuity equation. So let me focus on the Friedmann equation. I see that there is a term that is proportional to m4 squared that depends on the induced gravity term on the brain, and that ensures if the other terms are zero, this ensures that the normal Friedmann equation is recovered. Plus, there are other terms, and in particular, there is a term that depends on the fundamental scale in six dimensions that contains a 1 over h. So there is h at the denominator. So it is very non-standard. In particular, there is also the phenomenon that I was mentioning before. There is no conservational energy on the codimension two brain, but if the angle between the brains is different than 90 degrees, so if the alpha is different than zero, there will be an exchange of energy between codimension two and codimension one brains. So this.
As I was telling before,
in the codimension one case, we have this Kodaty equation. It is a differential relation, a differential equation that tells us that there is no exchange of energy between codimension one brain and the bulk. But in this case, we have a system of two brains that intersect. So there can be an exchange of energy between the codimension one brain, this object, and the intersection. Now I'm focusing on the cosmological evolution of the intersection, and what I see with this term is that there will be a flux of energy between the intersection and the codimension one brain.
But all the observer, standard model particles are constrained to that.
To the intersection.
The intersection.
But
so then they should satisfy the conservation.
No. I started with the standard model particles. I concentrated on particle fluid at the intersection. But afterwards, I find that the evolution equation for cosmology forces us to have a relation that allows for an interchange.
I don't understand how it works.
Because the problem is that you can say, okay, I define my standard model particles to be on the brain.
Yeah.
But this is a definition. Afterwards, you have to see whether the junction conditions that you were studying before allow for, render this definition consistent, or whether you have to allow.
So that means the standard model particles are not on the junction.
In the sense, the junction conditions that I'm using force us to consider a flux of energy between codimension two and codimension one.
I mean, you realize that if you have like dark matter particles and the universe expands, the density should go down as 1 over a cubed.
Yeah.
Now, that equation says that's not the case.
That equation says that
So that means your dark matter particles are disappearing. Or something.
Yeah, of course it depends on the sun, on how much particles are going outside.
Yeah.
Of course there are parameters that you can play with that allow to render these flux very, very small. And I will show in the very last slide, in the next menu, I will show you an example of this. Okay, so there are two crucial features. This flux of energy and the fact that this additional term in the Friedman equation that goes like 1 over h. This is very interesting. Okay, I will skip here the details and we'll just focus on one example, on a new example of self-accelerating solution. So I will take an additional simplification of the previous system of equations. Okay, we'll ask something about the parameters and then that in some details. But anyway, the previous system of equations simplifies even more and it reduces to this. Here, beta is a parameter that we will take very small. I will first take very small. So this, because of how the continuity equation appears in a simplified setting, and this is another form of the Friedman equation. You see, if this term is not present, this form corresponds to exactly the Friedman equation in a value of relative more than codimension 1. Here there are additional terms that go like 1 over h that depend on the physics of the body because depend on the physics. So my question is, can we have self-acceleration in this system? Okay, one choice is the one that I discussed before for epsilon equal to 1. And this is a choice that is very similar to the Balikabalanti-Porrati case. But there is also another possibility. The possibility in which you turn off the induced gravity terms on the codimension 1 brain, and you work only with the induced gravity terms on the codimension 2 brain. In this case, one finds another configuration that can drive acceleration only thanks to this term. So without this and this. One can solve in this case the continuity equation, at least formally, and you see that you have a deviation from the standard law due to this, but this can be rendered small enough to, we didn't study this possibility, but if you take beta very, very small, this correction can be rendered as small as you like. For which?
Sine of epsilon.
There is no epsilon because it's n phi equal to 0, so there is in it. Here, yeah, sorry. Here is for epsilon positive. Yes.
Epsilon positive.
But there is no induced gravity term on the dimension 1 by this. So at least I don't have an intuition of whether Ghost should be present. Because this is really a codimension.
Right, but there's no relation. I don't remember your epsilon. Positive was the stable.
Epsilon positive in the codimension 1 case is unstable. Okay. But I don't know what happens in this codimension 2 case. So one can find the regimes in which one can have acceleration. So one can have acceleration even if omega, where omega is the parameter that enters in the equation state of the perfect fluid. On the brain, when omega can be greater than minus 1/3 and still have drive acceleration, thanks to this.
What was beta?
Beta?
Yeah.
Beta is a parameter that takes small and is defined in terms of other parameters that define the tender in the geometry. Particular, here beta is related to K2. I don't know if you remember, K2 was one of the parameters that defined the work factor in six-dimensional geometry.
Are all these constants?
These are all constants.
So alpha, is alpha constant as well?
Here is alpha is constant. Okay, alpha constant.
If beta can be zero there, no?
Beta could be zero, but if beta is zero, you don't have it.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Beta is zero, you don't have inference at all from epsilon there, but in your result, we have the impression we can take the limit beta to go to zero and still have acceleration.
No, but here omega is the I put a perfect fluid on the brain with equation state P equal to omega.
It's just the normal condition.
If beta is equal to zero,
oh,
you
okay.
can
you have okay.
if omega is less than minus one third. Why with beta dependent theory you can have acceleration also?
Okay.
In that case.
Okay, so there is something I don't understand. So that the continuity equation tells you that basically rho doesn't quite decay as it should for this equation of a state. There is a correction.
This is a correction.
And it's time dependent. Okay, there is h in it, so it's time dependent.
Yes. And notice that for h, for large h, so in the early times, this is very surprising. It becomes important only for.
But sometimes it becomes negative. Oh no, no, this gets very close to zero.
Yeah. But yeah, what is important is that it is small when beta is small and also when it is very large. So it could be fine at early epochs, but after you should take into account about this correction.
So the matter that disappears where does it go?
Into the collimation one brain.
Into the collimation.
Okay, so my turn. Finished? Okay, let me go ahead and look. I presented a new scenario to address the organic change in the framework of hydrogen dimensional worlds with localized gravity tests. Now what we have to do is to study the dynamics of metric fluctuations. Here the bending modes will play a special role. And then we have to identify whether ghosts are present and how they couple to matter intersection, if they are there. And they explore better how the behavior of the cosmological solutions by studying the interplay between brains of different dimensions. And above all, we have to understand whether the energy flow between the brains is compatible with the requirement of obtaining the right amount of acceleration in the self-accelerating branch that they work.
So, any further questions from anyone? I mean, it didn't seem like there was any.
I have more questions.
No. All I'm trying to say is that it doesn't seem like there was any reticence on the part of the audience to ask questions during the talks. Carry on.
So, if you have several components of fluid,
yeah.
Then would they all behave the same way, or?
Yeah, in the sense that I will have a more complicated expression, but at the end of the day, yeah, it is not clear to me which component will go, if there is the possibility to distinguish between different components, such to select the one that will go into the other brains. This is not clear. What I expect to have is a complicated expression with, let me call rho 1 and rho 2 the energy density for the 2. 3H rho 1 plus T1. T2. And this will be equal to that expression that I said in the right hand side that does not depend on rho 1 and rho 2. So it depends only on the geometry because it depends on alpha, on beta, on the Hubble parameter. No, because the Friedman we have. In this case.
Okay, something else again.
It's a biological one because I am not, no way, can't worry. What kind of ghosts are in this theory?
Kind of.
The ghost particle, ghost fields are.
Yeah, actually, this is known in the codimension one case. In the codimension one case, there are papers by Calvert, Gregory, with recent, relatively recent papers that were able to identify exactly where the ghosts are. So the ghosts in the co-dimension one setup correspond to or scalar particles or spin two particles. I don't know here.
Go to the slide with self-tuning
This is self-tuning in the absence of
I was just wondering, so let's just set h equals 0.
Which h? Our h without indices.
That one's 0.
Yeah.
So
these forces to so
it looks like you can have arbitrarily large tension, little lambda, and still have a solution. Because in the normal case, the tension is bounded, right? Because the deficit angle can't be more than 2 pi. So in the normal case, you have a bound on the maximum tension. Whereas you seem to have, you have an unbounded tension you can have, which is very interesting. I just want to take the simplest.
You can take if lambda goes to infinity, what happens is that the cosinus of alpha is going to 1, approaching 1. That corresponds to the case which.
Yeah, but that's great because normally that occurs at some finite tension.
This is.
So that's much more interesting than the normal self-tuning co-dimension 2 thing.
In a sense, yeah.
Because you can have any tension,
yeah,
and you can trade it for the.
Yeah. This back to the. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So that's cos alpha equals 1 and c equals 0.
No, because he's considering the limit in which lambda is very, very large.
No, but I want to consider when cos square alpha equals 1.
Yeah. And then M6 is equal to 0. Yeah. This is a bit pathological. Yes.
Why is this?
Because the.
S6 is basically.
Nothing depends on lambda. Yeah. I didn't focus on the pathological. But on the other hand, these equations do not
work.
But
the point is that to obtain the solution, I divide and multiply by various quantities. I didn't take much attention to ensure that all the factors will be defined on 0.
But I think the one to be true is this alpha can be anything, and you have calculus for some items.
Maybe that there are an instability, other kind of instabilities.
They are not only for, it's for, in fact, only for one.
Oh, so you mean. It's only, it's not like the ones only the one that you know.
Who told this?
No, I don't.
So you think once you set them like that, the vacuum is going to make them want?
Not that you set it, but try to find the solution with alpha like this.
Yeah.
And do the perturbations and find vacuum.
So the vacuum is going to want to make them.
The spectrum of the perturbations, if you do it,
yeah.
I don't know, but I make this. They are not
attacking
only for
one last
question.
I'm not sure, but I didn't study first.
Yeah,
the point is that here the angle of the brain, the angle is fixed by the tension, so it is not a free parameter.
The tachyon is not that bad if the mass is very small.
Yeah, indeed. Well, of course. But it's mass and instability.
Yeah, but you know, an instability of the age of the universe is not necessarily
disastrous.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's
what is the problem.
Yeah.
You know, but it's free, that you're free. Choose any reason. So we have to.
And then. Sure, you're just saying you've got some dynamics there. The universe is not static, so that doesn't really matter.
But it depends on which way you're the tachyon is going to bring you to. If he starts with not exactly being self-tuned, and then you go towards a tuning thing, that's good. But if you start with it being very well tuned, then...
So if
you
start with small anger, small tune, it will...
Yeah. All right, well, so maybe we can officially thank General Snow again before everyone leaves.